Welcome back to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I am CDJ, joined by Tommy and JB Huskers. Guys, how's it going?
Doing pretty good. Still waiting on whether EA's dropped us, you know, completely for the end of the year or what the case may be.
You mean the community at large? No, that's personally.
We know that
we've already been dropped.
Yeah. JB, how are you?
Good. Good to see football in full swing. College and now pro. So it was a good day of watching NFL Red Zone. So, and there were hardly any commercials. People were freaking out over nothing, but it's been a good weekend of football.
The slippery slope. As everyone complains, exactly. It's just the start. So,
yeah, it's true.
Give them time. Let's talk about College Bowl 26. Tommy, you did an excellent tease there. I didn't even prompt you for that. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I thought maybe we'd get an update. It seemed like we were in a pretty good cycle of at least every 2 weeks, if not in between, whether it be a big update or a small update, we were getting something. The last update that I've seen was 1.008 on August 19th. As we record this, it is September 7th, so the time that's up is September 8th. Now, granted, EA could put out notes at a moment's notice, and then we have a patch within 24 to 48 hours. But as of now, communication has sort of dropped. We're just getting, you know, the generic College Football related tweets on their social media accounts, not really any game information. Is it unrealistic that we should have something? Should we be worried? I've seen the community wondering, is it over? You know, where's the support at? I can't think it's all over, but longer gaps between patches, the silence, it's never a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, I will give, I guess, a half point credit for their recent tweets about kind of intertwining the real life football footage with, you know, the game. I mean, it's kind of a neat little thing. I don't think it's going to drive any sales or anything like that, but it's kind of, you know, a neat effect. I wish they were doing that, you know, in celebration of all the great work that they could have been doing in the meantime as well. You know, the marketing team is obviously different than the development team. And so, you know, there's no reason they can't both be working hand in hand.
Yeah, I have seen commercials. So you got to think that they're not done with this. Football season is just getting into its full swing now with week two games wrapping up in the college football land. So you got to think that something is around the corner considering, you know, the season's just getting started. You're still seeing ads on TV. I've actually finally saw one myself the other day. So I think there's got to be something you got to think. You can't be completely dropping the game in September. That would be kind of ludicrous there for that.
I think it just matters with how big of content it will be. Will it be sizable or will it be just be bug fixes and uniforms and maybe some roster rating updates? Like what's realistic to expect?
The details haven't been there. You know, there's a lot of things that are not matching up in terms of real life. So there's a lot of work to do just to match up with things in real life. So I don't know if they'll ever get caught up there.
Yeah. I mean, you have to think that there's got to be more uniforms coming for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, every team has, you know, is going to release new uniform, at least new helmets or new pieces or whatever at some point this year. So they can't be done with that completely. But then at the same time, there's still plenty of other bug fixes and tweaks that need to be there that haven't been there. And some of that's been stuff that's been there since day one and probably will be there at the end of the year. But at the same time, there's still a lot that needs to be addressed.
Some of that we saw in 25.
Yeah.
Kept on rolling.
I want to say some were fixed in 25 and then came back in 26. So, yeah.
So nice they had to fix them twice.
Exactly.
The game is $50 at select retailers. I don't know if you guys saw this at Walmart, Amazon, Best Buy, and GameStop. You can get the game for $50. And that includes even at Walmart, you can get the Steelbook Edition for $50. So if somebody didn't get the game at launch, if they can do the waiting game, they can get a pretty good deal here as the season goes on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the game's going to drop in price. I don't know what the timing was last year, but we're 2 months down the road, and
basically
I guess that's about right for a typical sports game. I'm kind of surprised that they do it right at the start of the football season, but I guess if anything, it'll drive a little bit more sales.
Madden dropped 2 weeks after launch. It dropped down to 50 2 weeks after launch, which was kind of surprising some people, you know. And I'd expect probably by Black Friday it's going to be 30, probably maybe 25, something like that. So if you're waiting for the end of the season to pick it up, you know, Black Friday might be your time to get it here in a couple months.
And while we love college football here, I mean, obviously you go to our past, we've always enjoyed just college video games, period. And we really thought we were going to get a college basketball game from EA Sports based on a tweet they put out June 30th. Bring the madness, let's run it back. At the time, I think people inferred, and there was some reporting from Matt Brown, who has done excellent work. I recommend people go to Extra Points with Matt Brown, check out his stuff. It seemed like the CLC recommended that schools accept EA's proposal. It seemed like all but a done deal. However, the longer we went after this tweet and didn't get a confirmation from EA, every day it seemed like, okay, something's not right here. It's not official. Hindsight being 2020, and we'll kind of recap what happened. And then I have lots of questions that I want you guys to answer. We thought EA would be the one making the game, the proposal. Matt Brown found those details. EA telling schools that their goal was to put in all the Division I men's and women's programs for year one when the game came out in 3 to 4 years, approximately. In the meantime, 2K didn't take no for an answer with their proposal. They were going behind the scenes after the CLC recommended that the schools take EA's bid. 2K contacted the schools, and again, hindsight being 2020, we can put some of these pieces together in the puzzle that they changed their bid a little bit or changed what their ideas were. Per Matt Brown, originally 2K's proposal was a non-exclusive contract for 5v5 college gameplay inside NBA 2K's My Team mode. This activity would be a standalone purchase and includes 16 programs in year one, 32 year two, 68 in year three, and would consider a standalone product based on success of the My Team add-on. Obviously, something has changed in the meantime, as we found out Matt Brown's reporting. EA would end up taking back that licensing offer. A bunch of schools ended up signing with 2K. And when you hear the word exclusive license, I don't think anybody really likes it. But the problem is, there's only ever going to be one game. Even if they sign with 2K, there was never going to be two games. History has shown there's not a market for college basketball to support two games. That's what happened in the past when College Hoops went away. College Hoops was the leader and went away first before EA's NCAA basketball franchise went away. And I know we're going to hop around here, but Sports Business Journal, just to let people know how popular was the College Hoops and NCAA basketball back in the day. Well, back in 2007, when the final College Hoops came out, and remember, it was the leader in the clubhouse. In 2007, it was the ninth best-selling basketball game of the year and number 199 overall. Are there people excited who will buy this game right away? Yes. Will there be enough to sustain it? I don't know.
You got to figure also back then, 2007 was before the digital age, where now you have a ton of games. You have 100 times the amount of games out there available year by year now, where there was not as many games back then. So it's even going to be a harder sea to navigate for a game like this because of the digital age now. A lot of PC games are now being ported digitally into Xbox and Switch and PS5. So this was a completely different time compared to now. And I think now it's even going to be harder to try to get the sales of the gamers just because of the sheer amount of volume of games that are out there now.
Yeah, I think college basketball especially is ripe for an every other year title. I don't think it's going to be something that's going to have sustained sales every year. There's going to be times where people want to pick it up, especially around March time frame, but at the same time, it's not going to dominate like college football did, especially at the launch. It's not going to dominate like football in general. And then add in competing with 2K, you're probably looking at a lot of the same audience. I'm sure there's, people that are college basketball first fans, but probably basketball fans are basketball fans. That at least that's my guess. So yeah, it's definitely like I would be somebody that would buy a updated College Hoops, but at the same time, I wouldn't play it near as much as I would play college football.
And I mean, we're not really surprised that they're going with 2K because they're the established basketball company right now. They put out a yearly title. EA hasn't put out a title in a long time. So it really shouldn't be much of a surprise that the schools decided to go with 2K because that's a brand that's been out there year to year consistently. EA, they put out a big promise that they were going to get every single school out there, and I think maybe they just bit off more than they could chew, and schools just decided to go with the established company at the time.
I'd say somebody made a really good point. I was reading the other day. If you're one of the big schools and 2K comes and offers you, a bucket of money today, or EA says, hold on, if you can wait 3 years, I'll offer you half a bucket of money because the rest is also going to get spread out to everyone else. You know, those big schools obviously want the money now. They want probably a larger portion than EA was going to give them. They don't care that it's not going to include all 330 schools. They just care that their school's included. So,
It's a recruiting perk.
exactly.
We're a big enough
Absolutely.
program to get in the game. These guys are not.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it's, imagine if there are some that are in one conference in the game and other schools in that conference are not. I mean, that's an easy sell that, you know, hey, come over to us, you know. So yeah, it makes sense from the school's standpoint. Obviously, it makes sense from 2K's standpoint. I also understand the idea from EA's standpoint that they don't want to do a whole lot of investment if they don't know that they're going to have all the schools on board at the time. So, you know, from a fan's standpoint, it sucks. But from a business standpoint, I can see,
It
you
makes
know,
total
all
sense.
sides of it. Yeah.
Okay, a couple things here. First, going back behind that tweet was EA's push to get schools to sign on. They thought that was going to get them over the finish line to show, look at this hype, look at this demand. 34 million views on this tweet. And just for comparison on EA Sports X account here, I'm just going to pick a couple before and after it. Obviously, not the same hype as a new title potentially returning. EA Sports F1, 91,000 views. Talking about the movie, 163,000. Pales in comparison to getting 34 million views. That had a lot of traffic, a lot of impressions. Going back to your point on the sales there, on their sales pitch to the schools, I got to imagine, JB, that they went to all 2K had to do was say, here's what we sold over the last week. Go look and see what EA sold in their console basketball game over the last 6 years. That number is zero. It was probably a pretty easy push when they put it that way to the schools.
And then, like as Tommy put it with the EA pitch, it's like Wimpy from Popeye. Yeah, I'll gladly pay you tomorrow for a hamburger today. It's like, I just got paid a lot of hamburgers and a lot of money, so I'm good here with 2K.
So let's go to bed. Also, then on September 4th in the evening, we got confirmation, and I think in the morning it leaked that came out that EA was dropping their bid that evening. 2K in a weird graphic, just because it's so dang small to read versus putting a notes app here. Picture would have been better than this. Basically saying that it's the NBA 2K26 launch week. Good time to share even more incredible news about the future of basketball 2K. Yes, working on a college basketball experience. Keep that word in mind. Do you ever hear the word new franchise here yet? An experience that will feature more than 100 programs from across the country. You won't have to wait long to start seeing your favorite colleges show up in game. What's the game? They're talking about 2K. If I'm following my proper use of pronouns here, we've got big plans for 2027 and beyond, and even a few surprises coming in early 26. So go back to what Matt Brown reported in the past, 2K's earlier proposals. It is, again, going to start off as DLC content within NBA 2K. Now, those 100 programs, is that year two? Is that year three? What maybe EA's bid and the putting that out publicly, maybe that helped kind of push 2K's hand to get a little more aggressive. That way we don't have to wait quite so long for more schools to appear. But it does very much sound like, and even Matt Brown on X said that his sources told him expect in February that NBA 2K26 may add 16 or so teams. I don't know how that's going to work in my team. Like, you're not really going to have a tournament in there. Is that just basically you're buying the cards or the players for your my team? And if people don't play it, my team is basically ultimate team. So I'm still a
And
little like, what is this exactly we're going to get?
it may be as simple as just uniforms for those certain teams or something like that. You know, include 20 teams uniforms or something, no players or anything, because that's a big thing to just add players for you know a few months worth of content basically. So yeah, no, I would see something to do specifically with the schools. Maybe I would be surprised if there's any courts themselves, but maybe some, you know, uniform packs or something like that.
I mean,
Something to keep.
now that EA has dropped out completely, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a Final Four experience. They have the Final Four teams, and they have wherever the Final Four is going to be next year, and they just include that part of the March Madness in the game.
You're saying in February they'll have at least the Final Four experience?
Next year, yeah. I mean, it may be,
They could have the court design. You
yeah,
wouldn't have the schools
because
for
it's
sure.
just going to be one court and four teams, so.
Yeah.
I think it's feasible.
The thing is, though, with an engine, it's not going to play like a college basketball game. It's going to play
Yeah,
like
that's the
a
only
pro
thing.
basketball game. So,
Yeah.
This came up before all of the official confirmation from 2K back on July 18th. Sports Business Journal, 2K Sports planning a college hoops game. So this kind of told you the evolution of their proposal. What's interesting here is this kind of leak that more schools had signed on. A source tells Sports Business Journal they plan on a standalone game with more than 100 men's and women's teams that would all receive fair market value as well for their NIL. So I mean that matches what 2K says in their tweet of 100 programs, but then that includes men's and women's. So if you wanted just a pure men's dynasty, or for example, or something to replicate it as best you could, that 100 is not purely men's programs. I take that to mean separate. I don't think that means 200 total teams between men's and women's. I mean, it's tough to interpret that either way, but that's the way I infer Sports Business Journal and 2K's post on X, is that it's 100 between the two.
I think that makes sense. As you start to read it that way, I think that would sour a lot of people from the game. If it's only 50 men's teams, then there are going to be people that are upset about that, and you lied to me, so I'm not going to buy your game, sort of thing. I will say they at least say from powerhouses to Cinderella stories. I don't know, what that means. Is that going to be George Mason, or is that going to be some lower tier
Gonzaga,
P4 school? Yeah,
which is
exactly.
basically a power program.
Right, exactly. So yeah, I would hope that means 200 total teams, 100, men, 100 women. Obviously, they ha already have women's basketball, WNBA in the 2K game, so it's not a big stretch to do that, but at the same time, like I said, if it was 50 men's teams, then a lot of people are going to get upset.
Okay, guys, I think we're at the question part here. And some of these we won't know until the game comes out, but I just want to get our thoughts and maybe, I don't want to say predictions, but just these are things that came to mind from what, when I read all this stuff, from what the community posted on X in response to our tweets, for example. First off, and I think we've kind of alluded to this, is this approach sort of gatekeeping the college basketball experience? If they put this out in February, the game is still relatively expensive. I know some people, and I myself included, we know that NBA 2K goes on PS Plus generally in the past. And I looked, 2K25 went there in June of 2025. So if they put out their first content in February, that's not free on PS Plus yet. So you need to at some point get the full game. And then if they follow the proposal model, which things could change, you guys spend extra money to play whatever form they put into the My Team. Is that, again, is that gatekeeping this whole experience?
A lot of times by February and March, the game's $20. So it's still very affordable. The price does rapidly go down on 2K, at least by the time you get towards the end of the NBA season.
But what would the DLC cost? I can't think it's going to be $5. I
Yeah, I
envision
don't
more
know.
closer to 20, but
Depend
I hate to
yeah,
theorize,
that
but that's my
yeah.
guess if I had to guess right now.
Depends
Well, and
on
it depends
what's
on
all
what the
included.
experience is. If
Yeah.
it's four teams in a court, then no, I can't imagine it being $20. If it is truly like, I mean, if they go close to 64, then that's a little bit different story,
Would this approach prevent the same massive hype 20 College Bowl 25? And I think you kind of alluded to it, Tommy. But if we are slowly getting these bite-sized morsels where you, let's say just throughout, we get 16 teams in February of some form or fashion, then there's a 100 team experience, whether that's a standalone game or something in NBA 2K the year after. I mean, if we're getting this whole thing slowly evolving versus, 25, which just is bomb that dropped, really. Everybody couldn't wait to get enough in the marketing. They wanted to see gameplay. They wanted to see the details. It was a kind of a cultural thing. It was a big thing. People knew about it who don't even play video games. Does this take away from that sort of shock and awe that College Bowl 25 had?
100%, yes. If you just kind of give it as a trickle, then you're not going to get that big bang experience and that big wow of college sports are back. Obviously, College Football 25 took away a lot of that in the first place. I mean, if you had a college basketball game the next year, it still wouldn't be as, groundbreaking, I guess, so to speak, as College Football 25 was in terms of sales and everything like that. But the fact that they're doing it kind of piecemeal, and that, oh, it's a DLC here and it's going to be an experience, and your favorite team's probably not going to be in those 100 programs,
Yeah, mine
that
won't
kind of
be.
thing. Right. I mean,
Yours either,
definitely
no
mine won't
offense.
be. No, for sure. So, I mean, it's kind of. It, For me, the only way I would play it is if 2K come drops down to $20 or free, and the DLC is like super cheap or just free or something like that. And I would only kind of buy it, quote unquote, as an investment to say, hey, there is a thirst for college basketball. You know, hopefully it drives more.
So they keep
But
pushing.
exactly. At the end of the day, I won't give a whole lot of support to it until they start announcing that they're doing like online leagues or something like that that are specific for a college basketball season. So it's, yeah, to me, 2K gets m money in relationship with schools up front. They get to block EA, but it doesn't deliver the experience to the fans.
I think that 2K has been kind of stagnant over the past few years. At least the main fan base has had that kind of sentiment. And I think this is kind of their strategy to kind of possibly expand their fan base to people that may not normally get NBA 2K. They may come in. Obviously, this is going to come out in February. So, like I said, the game then may be 20, if at most $30. I mean, there's going to be a February is when the NBA All-Star game hits, and that's usually when they have a big sale. So it's going to probably be that it's going to be at a much lower price at that point. I think their purpose is trying to get some new fans into the game, some new blood into the game that hasn't been previously in the game or hasn't really touched it, because now there's a college aspect in. So now these college fans may be coming in just to see what they have to offer with the game.
Let's kind of talk about EA drop, I hate to say dropping the ball, but it felt like they were the leader in the clubhouse, at least at one point in this race. When the CLC, recommends to the schools to take this offer, that's a pretty big, step ahead. Maybe we should have known. I mean, let me put some humor in here first. EA's history with basketball tweets isn't the greatest, but we probably should have known this. Let's go flashback. October 29th, 2019, NBA Live 20 in development. NBA Live comes out and says, basically, we're excited by our progress, but remain hyper ambitious. We're not going to release NBA Live 20 this season. We have our sights set on creating something fresh for the next generation of players and platforms. We know we need to earn our future every step of the way, so we're taking our time to get it right for our players.
They're taking a lot of time, all
We
right.
promise to check back regularly. This is the part that pissed a lot of people off. Excuse my French. We promise to check back regularly with updates. Until then, we'll be on the grind. So again, when EA tweets basketball stuff, okay, really should have known with that March Madness one. Okay, you fooled me once, shame on you. Second time, shame on me and shame on the community. We should have, unfortunately, maybe should have taken it with a grain of salt. But I do have to ask,
Well, don't let's
does
all let's not forget NBA Elite 13 either. I mean,
let's
their fumbling goes back a ways.
I think you're peeking on my notes, JB.
Am
I have
I?
about four questions here. Okay, did the poor basketball Let me get through the points here, because obviously the first question you're going to yell yes at me. Why are you asking this? Did poor basketball history doom EA? One, it's I in my opinion, and I think JB, you're going to say yes based on what you just said. In my opinion, over the last 15 to 20 years, almost every big decision they've made relating to basketball was the wrong one. They did not invest early enough. 505 was considered one of the best basketball games of all time, extremely
So was
popular.
10. So was 10.
They did
And
not invest to get that thing going. But by then, 8, 9, 10, 2K was really making their rise. So that's another one. They didn't invest enough to hold off 2K or stay even with 2K. They made the wrong decision to just revamp the whole dang thing to Elite 11. Then they went dark, ended up moving it to Florida. I'm sure I'm missing stuff here. Then you had a history of, canceled games. And this is the one that really, in hindsight, and granted, they cannot predict a global pandemic. But if NBA Live 20 had come out in the fall of 19, in that spring then of 20, when the whole world shut down and all those games, Madden had a tremendous year because video games became babysitters.
Animal Crossing was gigantic.
Live would have got a boost. I mean, there's no way. I mean, I know. Can you predict that? No, but I feel pretty darn confident it would have gotten some sort of boost with everybody staying home, depending on what they're doing with that title. Should they have returned to an NBA game first, or even just made a non-licensed game before trying to tackle a college license? It seems like, again, all a 2K had to do is say, over 6 years, they've sold zero copies. In the last week, we've sold more in the last hour than they've sold in 6 years.
Well, and they don't even have to use that. Obviously, EA hasn't sold any games in the past 6 years, but just go back the past 15 years, what has EA done with the game? I mean, I can't imagine, obviously I don't have numbers in front of me, but I can't imagine the sales for 11, 12, 13, whatever years that they did release the game, their sales were dwarfed compared to 2K. And that's a one-to-one matchup. I mean, they're both NBA titles. So, yeah, all 2K has to say is, look, we already have an established brand, we already have established game. They're gonna have to build this from the ground up. And they delayed college football for a year past what they were planning to release it. So now they're gonna have to build a basketball engine from the ground up. So you know they're gonna delay it again. So, yeah, long story short, it was easy for 2K to convince these big schools that we can pay you now. We can pay you for the next 3 or 4 years where EA is not even going to release a game.
And part of the EA's proposal that leaked was it was a 6-year deal, if I remember correctly, and at least three releases. So in the meantime, it sounded like they would, take years off, which a lot of sports gaming fans wanted to see. But I wonder if that got twisted against EA. Was that them already, 2K saying, hey, they're already saying they're not going to put this thing out every year. Like, they don't even have faith in themselves to put out a yearly title with this sport, whereas we put out a major pro basketball title, so we can gladly or easily put together a college basketball game every year or sandwich with our NBA game or whatever. I wonder if their EA's being honest and saying it may not be yearly. Granted, I would love to see how that works because there's so many fans who want to see what would happen if sports titles took a year off and just kept developing. But I wonder if that ended up kind of biting them slightly here as well.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
I
don't
mean, it
know.
very well could have. I think it would be good for fans. I think it would be good for development. I think it would benefit all sports games. But at the same time, you still have to pay the licensing fees if you're going to use them for 2 years, but you're not getting a whole lot of additional income in that time. So, yeah, I mean, as a business sense, I understand why it doesn't happen, but as a real world for the fans and for the developers, I think it should happen eventually.
Yeah, it's the problem is it's going to be the higher ups that see that they're not getting sales for that year when they're not releasing a new title. But yet, the problem is that you're going to, I mean, NHL, I think, is finding this out right now. I mean, that they almost probably should have took a year off because there are so many people saying that NHL 26 is basically a patch for 25. There's nothing really new to bring you into the game this year. So it's tricky, but the problem is the people that make way too much money are making the decisions that don't play video games at all, and so they just want to see the dollar signs. And so taking a year off to them means that's a year of no sale of a new game. But until it really bites them in the ass, they can't, they're going to demand a new game every year because that's going to line their pockets.
Well,
Do you
and
think?
tell me if I'm wrong, but you mentioned the NHL game basically being a patch from last year, more or less. That's basically what MLB The Show had done for several years in a row. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. I haven't played it a whole lot, but from everything I read, people were saying that it was the exact same game, no new features, the franchise mode wasn't updated, online play wasn't very good, those kind of things, that basically it was a roster update and like not even new features to go with it.
I think they got a reprieve though, 'cause when it got added to my when it got added to Xbox, I think they got a reprieve because that was a whole different set of people that now have the game, even though it was in game. I know the first year it was on Game Pass. I don't know if it's on Game Pass this year or not. So you may have had to buy it in order to play it on Xbox. So I think they got a reprieve just because of the extra reach that the game's got now that it's on Xbox.
Do you think EA might have banked on their college football relationship with schools and the success of that title, thinking that the schools would just sign off again only to find that to fall through?
I don't
I
know if they
do.
just, I don't know if it's necessarily they just assumed, but I'm sure they thought that, hey, we have a good relationship. Let's, while we're talking college football, let's also talk about basketball because it's going to be probably the same representative. It's going to be the, athletic director or their representatives. So, they basically, just have to extend their phone call or make, call them back the next week or whatever. So I'm sure EA thought that their relationship was going to give them a leg up and that it was going to be not necessarily easy, but that at the same time, it's like, 2K doesn't have this, so we've already got that in our pocket,
Did they overpromise by claiming they're going to get every Division I school in?
Well, EA did, but I don't. 2K has been pretty quiet. We don't know what their latest proposal turned to. When 2K said we want a non-exclusive, do you think some of those schools might have thought that meant they might get two games and two different revenue streams? That they didn't understand the marketplace, that that was never going to happen?
I can't imagine very many schools did. I mean, I'm sure there are some that, athletic directors that are completely out of touch and don't realize, but you would think that most major programs kind of have somebody advising them and saying, "Hey, the last time the game was out, 2K7 or whatever it was, the sales were not incredible, so, take what you can get kind of thing."
Right. Take whoever gives it the most money right now and be done with it.
Yeah, just m make it easy on ourselves, and if they're ready to pay us money today, then why are we going to wait for 3 years for EA to come back and possibly delay the game or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about Elite. I forgot Elite was 11, not 13. And I just mentioned 10 was a damn good game too. And I think they just freaked out. And that was the big problem, is they just freaked out and completely changed the formula and shot themselves in the foot and never recovered. So I just think it was hard for anybody to really give EA a fighting chance when you have 2K in the fight every year for however many years they've been doing it. It's been a long time. So, and like Tommy said, EA's making promises 3 years out where 2K can deliver in literally less than 6 months from now. They're going to be delivering us a little something.
At least,
So.
but I think that's the problem with EA. We knew their proposal that, yeah, it's 3, 4 years down the line, but we're getting everything. Now, history would tell you the game quality might not be as good as 2K. However, with 2K's reading their model, we don't know that we'll ever get, a full game, because I think it's easy to think, at least on EA's side, they're probably going to copy the college football formula. There's going to be play now, there's going to be online dynasty, there's going to be a single player mode, there's going to be online head to head. I mean, I don't think that's a big leap to think that would happen. And we're going to miss out on the competition between the two, that we're stuck in the same rut. If you like football, you better like EA games. And if you like basketball, hopefully you like 2K, because if not, you're out of luck on playing another licensed game or competition between, sports here.
And hopefully 2K can at least have the wherewithal to tweak the engine if they're going to have a standalone or a mode within NBA of just college. And hopefully they tweak it to where it plays like a college game. I'm not going to hold my breath, but hopefully they at least have the awareness to maybe tweak it a little bit to give it a different feel.
I think they will. I know I'm not, I haven't been a huge fan of NBA 2K the last few years, but I am optimistic based on the guys they got on staff. And I know there's some I follow on X. I've never met them or talked to them, but I know some of them. I think we're on the College Hoops team. I think they will. It's the same fear we have with college football and Madden. Will they view college hoops as NBA 2K's little brother, or will it be its own beast on its own? As we do with EA, do they really feel college football is its own thing, or is it just Madden's little brother? This year it feels like it's the appetizer. Last year it felt like they treated the two separate. This year I feel like it was just the appetizer.
But at least with 2K, it's all in one package. So now they're giving it literally kind of, I mean, not the same care, but it's all in the same package at least. And that's going to be kind of the bonus of it not being a little brother, unless they just don't touch it and put this out and don't touch it for 5 years. Then obviously that's going to be them ignoring it. But I think the fact that it's all in one package kind of helps it a little more than college football compared to Madden.
But if that DLC flops,
Yeah.
we're not getting anything. That's
Yeah.
the one thing. If EA had gotten their model, I think there's a theory you could have. Okay, if their version didn't work, then 6 years and 2K can do their DLC method. So at least we go from, even if EA's full package wasn't very good, we can at least get salvaged or saved by 2K with the lifeboat in 6 years if it's a DLC inside NBA 2K. Whereas if this flops, EA's not getting in this. So this is literally our last hope.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping and pulling for 2K to do well with college basketball. And to wrap up here, I know EA has a poor track record with basketball. We mentioned on the show in the past that they had to really, if they got this proposal through, would have to have the best gameplay they've ever had in basketball on year one, which was a very,
Tall
very
order.
tough mission. But they did, over the past few years, get Rob Jones out of 2K. He was a pretty high level producer on NBA 2K. Scott O'Gallagher came over. He was, worked its way up through 2K as well, and is very influential. So maybe the future could have been different. Maybe they had the leadership finally in place, but we're never going to know.
Yeah, and I wonder if, Scott O'Gallagher is basketball his true passion, and he was coming to EA with the idea that eventually he could take over a college basketball title or something like that. I mean, who knows? But
Considering he was a pro player, I'm assuming that is still would be his passion in terms of the
yeah.
video game side.
We got a
So
few
yeah, I
seconds.
mean that may have been his first idea. So
All right. Good discussion on the college basketball there. Again, I'm pulling for college hoops. Hopefully, we don't have to wait long for a real dynasty mode to come out with that. We did ask recently on X, I thought this was a pretty funny topic. What is something you believe about College Bowl 26, but you just can't prove? This is based on the meme from Dexter. Do you guys know this? Am I filling you in for the first time?
filling me in because
Okay.
I know Dexter, but I've never watched it.
I have not watched it, but I know the basic premise that this gentleman here believes he's on to Dexter, but just can't prove it. That's the whole basis of the meme. And I will say, I want to give credit to Mir. He put the tweet out on August 24th. He says initially, this came up before our tweet, so I want to give him the credit. He goes, "I know EA programmed the left guard to get insta-shedded, but I just can't prove it."
Like the
1.3 million
logo.
views. Yeah, then
I
so
like
I went,
the logo on the windshield there.
yeah, thank you. Nobody commented on that when I put that up there. I was kind of disappointed. I thought that was clever too, but nobody said anything. Thank you, JB. I appreciate that. Again, Mir was the inspiration on that. We'll go through some of these. Will Ryan says there are certain games you are coded to lose and you have to play perfectly lucky to win. For example, he's a player with 99s in all catching stats, platinum sure hands, leads the nation in every receiving category. Then this happens multiple times in the same game, no less. It seems like when the game wants you to not complete a pass, you will very much not complete a pass.
Yeah,
I
I
believe
mean,
it.
they definitely choose their moments of when, yeah, it just truly, like, if it truly is 99 in all catching stats, then yeah, I mean, they shouldn't ever drop a catch that is wide open. Now, okay, they drop a catch where they're hit or something like that, or a tough catch, but this just running a drag across the middle, no, they should catch that.
I'll come to back to mine at the end. Bully McGuire says, outside of speed, stats do not matter. Game script greater than stats. I don't know that he's wrong with that. That one I can kind of go with. It's one of those, you might believe it, tough to prove. I get where he's coming from.
I will say that I've seen low-rated players that have, good speed or whatever, that it seems to, I'm talking about on defense, they seem to react poorly. Like, even though as a user you're trying to control them, they have a different reaction than you're trying to take them towards. I kind of mentioned back when I had Buffalo, I had a 90 overall linebacker. He would lead me to the correct hole more often than not, but just recently, playing with Stanford, I've got a poor linebacker that had to get subbed in that I was trying to move in one direction, and he kind of went out of where I was trying to guide him. So, long story short, I think some of those matter, especially on defense, like play reaction and stuff like that. But at the same time, speed kills no matter what.
Cultural enthusiast says making it impossible to win the Biletnikoff Award because wide open and stride passes get dropped when a DB touches your ankles. And the Lou Groza is almost impossible to win with your kicker.
I'll be curious. I got pretty close with the Lou Groza last year, and then this year I've had a great kicking year, so I think I should be in the top running for that, but we'll see.
I had the Biletnikoff last year along with the Heisman with but the guy had
In
99
25.
speed in 25 with takeoff. But yeah, I haven't really had a
Cheese.
yeah,
It was a
no
little
skill.
cheesy.
I haven't had really a obviously I'm playing at Wyoming. I'm going to probably restart my Nebraska dynasty soon, but they don't really have any kind of world beaters at wide receiver, at least that will, probably challenge for the Biletnikoff unless you just force feed them. But it's kind of hard to force feed them when they want to the computer wants you to drop it anyway, so.
Bammer says they fixed the game so it's fake difficult for a Heisman level.
Oh, I guarantee they cheat that, like on Heisman especially, to make it more difficult. They bump up your opponent's attributes and stuff like that. I mean, what, call it cheating, call it whatever you want, but basically they embellish your opponent just to make it more difficult.
The best experience is All American with sliders.
Yes, always has been.
I mean, I think that's what EA is aimed for.
Right.
And then if you really, really want to challenge yourself, then here's Heisman, in which that's the way it should be. But
Which is fine, but I'm always of the opinion if you go play Heisman, expect some nonsense. I mean, don't go in there
absolutely.
and think just because you went on Heisman doesn't mean you're Nick Saban. It might mean you are Nick Saban with the reflexes of a, 14-year-old kid hyped up on Mountain Dew, and you know how to break the game in some regards. And I don't mean that meanly, but I mean you've got to. It's more than just football knowledge at that point. You have to figure out what the computer cannot handle on Heisman versus pure football knowledge, because, like you said, they bump up the ratings and attributes. Brian says it's nearly impossible to win trophies or respect as a small program. I've won three straight national titles with UConn, have them up to 4.5 stars, play a Notre Dame at schedule, and I can't win a trophy or keep my number one CFP ranking spot.
Guy right behind me. He's a freshman at Wyoming, and he's second in the Heisman in our online dynasty right now. So it's not impossible.
Well, I think
You
he's
just
more
have to
worried about
cheese.
exactly like JB is. I think he's more just getting to the CFP, thinking he can have good players. It's just, isn't there an issue with the game? Like, it's not really tracking prestige very well. Like, it's not really bumping programs up the way it should be. I've seen that a lot online. I've not had enough success yet to know if that's true personally.
I saw some
Well, and
tweets
he.
saying that, or like Reddit, somebody like lost a star, half a star for winning the national title.
Yeah, I've seen that. Well, says he has them up to a 4.5. So I mean,
He's
he's
pretty
not
good.
struggling too much there. But yeah, it is. I am curious, why he's, not keeping that number one spot. Although, if you're depending upon what your schedule is, a Notre Dame-esque schedule would, if they won every single game, would they be number one? If you also have an undefeated SEC champion, I don't know. I'm trying to make an excuse here, I guess, but at the same time, it's if you're not in a conference playing against top tier conference opponents, then I can kind of see where EA is gonna, hold you up a
Then
little
there might be
bit.
something with that conference prestige rating playing a factor. I mean, that very much sounds like that's a lot. Maybe it's a bigger factor than it should be. The anomaly says CPU DVDA during blowouts. The computer always ends up with a moral victory, as well as forced bad user teammate AI logic to force outcomes to match a specific stat line that was desired before the game started.
See, and I don't think it's ever intended as a we're starting this game and the opponent's going to win. Yeah, maybe they give a boost here and there. I've always wondered, dating back to the PS2 days, that does EA give your opponent a boost, like a roll of the dice that they have a little bit of a boost than they normally would or something like that. But I don't think it's that they have a planned outcome on this play, on this, drive or on this game. I don't think that there's a planned outcome. It's just rather your opponent has some, extra bonuses going on that you don't.
EB23 said, "This is all the proof I need. I hope this plays well."
Whoa.
I've seen that on Reddit. I've not seen that firsthand.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Is this go all
is
the
it
way for
give
any
the
touchdown here?
hey, cut,
I think that's
go,
a
all
safety.
the.
It's a slides.
No, it's
What in
fourth
the
and two.
seven, fourth and seven.
Okay.
I thought
Wait,
there's gonna
this is a
be the
pod?
slide six or slide two, but that was.
Yeah,
Huh.
that's weird.
Ooh. Jeff H, our friend, says that one day I will get to play this game. He's across the pond, so he's having issues getting it. Ryan Guthrie says, I don't know if it's certain programs coded to be good or certain playbooks that their coaches have.
The
I've heard that
playbooks
Duke was always
definitely.
good. Is that part of
As you
it?
say, the playbooks definitely. I think that the sim stats are off for certain playbooks. That I don't want to give away a big secret here, but if you choose Ohio State as your playbook, you'll have like 600 yards passing every week in sim games.
Let me write that down. Okay.
Yeah, write that down.
Huh.
But no, I'm serious. There are certain playbooks that just for whatever reason they sim very well. Whereas if you had, just a spread playbook or something like that, it doesn't sim as well. Part of that is because in each playbook they build the coach suggestions and all that, and obviously the sim, take those into effect when it calls plays. Maybe that's something that EA needs to spend more time on all playbooks to make them more balanced or something like that. I don't know, but definitely there is something to be said about certain playbooks giving you better results.
I have heard that. That's interesting. Kids are 0918. Computer teams can sub in wide receiver and tight end spots during no huddle, which means they can pick any formation from no huddle while the user cannot.
Yeah, no, that's a guarantee. I know that that's
That
not
one's
a,
proven.
yeah, that's proven. I mean,
Yeah.
it's yeah, they'll use all kinds of strange personnel in strange formations.
All right, I'll go through mine real quick here. One that I didn't actually post here, but I'll say it now. At least some of EA's AI that they talk about, the what do they call it in the blog in 25, the coach AI or real-time coaching, I think some of that is just massive rating boosts and made massive rating swings. It's not all of this is some grand computer that is figuring out your every move. It's not Big Blue on, playing chess with you. It is just, okay, minus five, catching rating, for example. And let me give you this part. I did clarify maybe the details. I didn't give the overarching thought. In my opinion, the game provides boost to the computer after certain situations in gameplay. I don't have theories on all of the specifics, but some that I very much feel confident in. The first possession, trailing by 10 plus, like if you do get a lead on the computer, they give them a shot, a boost to try to prevent a blowout. I feel confident in
Yeah.
that one. Possession after the first user punt, like let's say you have some success removing the ball, but once you punt it, I think the game has been coded to kind of make that a momentum shift or swing. Like they got the big stop, all of a sudden they're going to play a little better. And the one that I think a lot of people have seen, fourth quarter when trailing. That's a screenshot that we saw a lot in 25, and then you still see it now in 26 a bit, is that it all of a sudden the computer is able to put up, they can't do anything for three quarters, they hit the fourth quarter and they get their stride going.
Yeah, I just played our weekly game, Stanford against Duke, and I was leading by, I want to say four or something like that in the fourth quarter, and with about 4 minutes left to go, they hit a bomb, the first bomb that they hit all game, they hit a bomb to score to go up by, I think it was up, they went up by two. So, the good news is that basically gave me 4 minutes. But I just made sure to drive down the field and consume every bit of that 4 minutes to kick the game-winning field goal. That's the only way to do it in that case.
And I do think people, I would caution them when they say the game is scripted. I don't agree with that verbiage. I completely understand the sentiment. I do think what they're running into is my theory here is that they're getting into these situations and the computer all of a sudden is massively better than they have been on previous possessions or previous quarters. They think it's scripted. I think it's just situational boost, but I understand what their sentiment is.
Yeah, because
And some of
I just had a game against Hawaii where I was keeping them at bay for the most part, but all of a sudden they were hitting bombs. Even when I was playing over whatever, what is that coverage you call over the top or whatever, and they ended up with 500 yards passing, but they were behind the entire game, but they were never behind by a lot. So it was two scores was probably the most that my lead was in that game, but it was like all of a sudden they're just hitting bombs left and right, and I can't stop them.
And some of that is, especially in the fourth quarter, there are coaching perks that give your team boosts in the fourth quarter. Start hot in the fourth quarter or whatever it is. So, I mean, some of that comes into play if the opposing team has it and you don't, for example. I mean, maybe that's part of it or something. I'm not trying to make excuses, but I also know that yes, what we're
It's
talking about
half
also
designed that
exists as
way.
well. Yeah, yeah.
All right, here's some more I can't prove, but I believe. Pipelines are not designed to help the user, but rather in formulating the recruit's top 10 and to provide a recruiting boost or logic for the computer. I'm not
You
saying
look
they
at
provide no boost on to the user, but I'm saying I think the reason we have the static pipelines versus dynamic is because it helps to formulate the recruits or the players' top 10.
just look at a recruit that has a bunch of scholarships. It isn't sorted by pink pipelines at the top.
I'll say, but if you look at players by
So
their
it's it.
location and pipelines, it's like the same schools in the same order, especially if you look at three stars. So I'm like, that's way too, the odds of that matching to the extent it does, it's very much
But
more
it's
for
also
the
not
recruiting
helping
setup.
like on races that you're involved in, it's not helping the computer compared to yourself or yourself compared to the computer. You'll look at it's kind of mixed up. You don't see the pink at the top and pink and purple at the top necessarily, which is kind of proof that it's not really giving them a boost or anything.
I can see that. Tommy?
I'm curious. I haven't seen it, but has Max plays college football? Has he done the analysis of pipelines to say that this is how much points you get for pipelines or not or anything.
I would have to
I'd be,
revisit that. I'm not sure on that.
yeah, I imagine that's a good subject for him to dive into, but at the same time, I'd be curious, does that factor in at all, especially for the user, but then does it also for the CPU? Or like you said, is it just something that kind of pairs schools to players, especially the computer, pairs them up and say, you're in my pipeline and you have all the interest that I have all the interest that you want, so let's pair up kind of thing.
Right. And this is a long-standing one. This goes PS2, PS3. I don't know if it's quite as bad now on PS5, but I think it still exists to an extent. If you hold triangle, basically catch throughout a play, like once the ball's in the air and you have somebody selected, start holding that triangle and do not let go. I know it'll kick into no huddle, but at the time, watch the players nearby. Some of them, like especially if the ball gets deflected, the computer players or other players are even more aware to turn around to get the ball than they are normally. I was able back on the PS3 days, asked the developer, is this true? They said they talked to an engineer and said, no, that's not the case. I think it is. It's one of those, I shouldn't doubt it, but I'm saying it's one of those, I still believe it, even though I can't prove it.
I've not done that. I know back in the day that PS2 days especially, you would hold triangle and hold it all the way through the catch, and it seemed to help a lot then.
Even for
I
other
don't know if
players,
it's
but I think it affects the computer too.
maybe, yeah.
All right, my last ones here. Let me know. Two injuries on the same play where you get that pop up, and also then being to recruit a player from your own team out of the portal. I believe those are both bugs and not designed that way. The EA has gotten credit on Reddit for some people for that. And all I could think when I saw it was, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to take away credit. I believe those are bugs. I don't believe those were intentional. And especially the portal one, because otherwise it undermines the whole persuasion mechanic that you get the screen before.
To me, the Portal one is a happy accident by EA.
Yes,
It's not intended.
no.
The two injuries, I think it's just a possibility. I don't think it's necessarily a bug. It's just more, it is a possibility. EA may or may not plan for that to happen, but it does happen.
See, I think it's
I
a.
think that,
Go ahead.
no, I just think that it's not 100% intentional, but it's like a roll of the dice, and yes, there is a chance that that happens.
See,
When
I've
I've
also had
seen
that
it, it's
pop-up
always
show
been
two of
one.
the same name. Sorry to interrupt you, but I've seen it where it's two of the same name. So to me, that was the tell. Like, this is a bug. This was not intended to ever give you two names, but I don't know why it's picking the second name. That's what I. Maybe it's the dice roll, like you said, and maybe it wasn't coded that way. But that's what the tell to me was one time when I got same player listed twice. Then I'm like, okay, this whole thing is the second player is a bug.
Every time I've seen it, it's always been one from each team.
So I've had it once where it's the same player twice. I've had that several times,
Yeah,
actually.
I've not seen that. I want to say, and I could have been daydreaming, but I want to say I've seen three injuries in one play, like two from one team and one from the other. But I may be totally making that up because it's been a while if it did happen. But yeah, like I said, I think it's just a possibility, and it just, it happens. But definitely the portal one is a happy accident kind of thing.
And the last one kind of goes into the situational stuff, but if you throw an interception, your accuracy will get dinged significantly on your next throw. It's going to sail. But EA did not give that to the computer. The computer throws an interception, they are just fine that next play. You better just throw it to your running back so nobody can catch it because it's not getting caught.
That one I completely agree with you there.
So if anybody else in the community after hearing or watching this, if you have something that you think is true but cannot prove, we would love to hear it. And again, that graphic, thanks for the compliment, JB. If you've been listening or watching over the last few weeks, you know that the shows have ended a certain way. Tommy comes on here, provides his own free QA session for EA. Consider this a confessional, though. Nobody else is going to hear it, Tommy. But let's, what latest bugs and quirks have you found? I'm all ears.
So my list is a little smaller. Part of it is because EA hasn't released a new patch lately, so there's not been as much broken since the last time I reported on it.
Ringing endorsement.
Obviously a lot of those bugs are still there from the last time, so go back to the last shows and probably most of those are still there. But yeah, some of this is stuff that's been in there. Some of these are ones that everyone has seen, but at the same time, just want to call it out because I never called it out before. During position changes, if you scroll down, if you filter down to your athletes, no matter what athlete type they are, it only shows QB ratings. So if they're a tight end athlete or receiver athlete or whatever, all it shows is passing attributes. So the only way to fix that is to show the full list and then sort by position, and then that'll show you all attributes there. So again, that's been there since the beginning, but it just is to highlight things that are still out there.
Did we ever mention how the interest meter is broke in recruiting? That I think we mentioned, but maybe it's worth mentioning again that what's on the top of the screen does not match what's on the left side. So you got to go by the left side. I mean, we're talking about recruiting, so I feel like we should bring that up again because it always gets me every time.
Yep, no, absolutely. It's still out there. And in fact, I went out to recruit a player just added into my board. He had zero offers, top 10. I add him to my board and it shows he's in top five or something like that. So it's like for a second, it kind of freaked me out. Like I wanted to sign him,
Right.
but yeah, long story short, that is still wrong. You have to pay attention to the left side. With the new rosters, the freshmen all came in as one stars. If you create a dynasty, all of the new freshmen are all one stars, which you think, oh, well, that's whatever, that's fine. No, that is going to tank the blue chip ratings for those schools and those freshmen. So big issue, honestly, in that
Yeah,
case.
big oversight.
Just like we saw in 25, with the new freshmen, when you load the new rosters into a dynasty, their archetype changes. So therefore,
That's so
their
frustrating.
overall drops quite a bit. So in some cases, they drop from like a 75 to a 65 or something like that. And yes, they still play the same way because they have the other ratings. But in terms of playing time calculation, they're going to say, oh, everybody is higher up on the roster than me in terms of overall, so I'm not going to get any playing time, so I'm going to leave.
Do the deal breakers
So,
introduce more bugs and quirks than they are worth? Especially when every player has it. I mean, there isn't an argument to be made that, boy, it's really rough.
to me, it shouldn't be a one deal breaker. It should be several things that you are interested in, and you have to kind of balance those several things together. It shouldn't just be that I have to feed my receivers with 100 catches a game in order to keep this one player. It should be that, I have
To me, a
to have good
calculation.
stats and I have to have, a balance of who starts and who doesn't. And yeah, exactly. It should be a calculation that's just kind of a balance of several different things. So it's yeah, that definitely it needs a lot of work, but at the same time, EA obviously changed it in 26. They're not going to totally change it in 27.
No.
So
Yeah, because
what we have now is it's going to be there next year.
In our online dynasty, I've got a mobile quarterback, but I don't use him much on the option. But he has better passer ratings than my other quarterback. And they're both pretty much the same overall. So I'm using this guy. But he wants to transfer because I'm not running the option enough with him. Even though he's 5-2 and has pretty good stats, I'm not running the option. So now he's like in the red for transferring because of that.
I'm 6-1, and I've got a DB that has an F grade in playing style, even though he's starting. Granted, I'm giving up way too many passing yards, so yeah, I can see a ding there. But at the same time, just totally saying I'm abandoning you, even though we're winning games, you know.
Yeah, so it's like with our dynasties, it's almost like a gigantic, maybe this is like real life, but it's like a gigantic roster turnover. We're losing so many people to transfer out because of these deal breakers, and then we have to go and try to fill the gaps in the portal.
Yeah. I mean, to me, again, I think it should be a balance of things. No one's going to leave just strictly for NIL. No one's going to leave just strictly for playing time. They're going to balance all of those things out. Okay, yes, I'm a five-star quarterback at a one-star school, but I have playing time as my deal breaker, and so as long as I'm playing, I don't care about anything else. But no, he wants that NIL because he wants to go to a bigger school and get better, better branding or whatever. So
But it's just like the answer to a lot of things with this game. It's the easy way out.
I mean, in general, yes. I mean, it's instead of trying to do an algorithm, they just did a single calculation, basically. And that's the thing is that even the playing style is a single calculation. It's not catches and yards and touchdowns and whatever else. It is just catches. That's it. I don't care if I have 100 touchdowns. I want catches, and that's it. So that it leads to spamming short passes to these guys just to build up that stat. And I don't like that.
Going to the portal stuff, I think it's great that EA provided those options, but it feels like they didn't play it internally to figure out that the default setting for how many players can leave each year, it seemed like that should have been an option, but it should have been way smaller because the computer gets decimated. So that brings back the whole point of, I have people, I didn't get permission, but somebody messaged me today and talked about the quality control of the game bothers them. And I would agree with that. It just seems like I know QA can't do everything, and that's not stuff they look for. But the people internally playing it should have caught some of the stuff. And one is that portal setting should have been way smaller because the computer gets awful. But the one benefit is they edited on those AI boosts we just talked about 5 minutes ago. So it can keep them competitive when they're really 15 points overall worse than you, which is not sound logic. But I guess you get the right result, but the way you're getting there is messed up.
Yeah, I've talked about this in the past. EA doesn't have to necessarily play the game themselves. They need to build good unit tests. And unit tests are in coding and development that basically is what I coded is what's happening, what I expect it to be. And you have to build those tests to kind of do that. But then as well with AI, you can say, show me the anomalies. So yes, if I have the default settings and I advance two seasons in, the unit test should show me that there are 10 schools that are 60 overall or whatever it is. Give me a comparison from the default roster to season 3 roster. What's the big differences? That kind of thing. Are there 3 senior quarterbacks that are 90 overall at Alabama? That shouldn't happen. So yeah, long story short, they need unit testing. They don't have to play their game. They have to test their game with unit testing.
I would take both though.
Well, of course, yeah. You want the human eyes on it too, but at the same time,
I agree with you.
Humans not going to be able to simulate thousands and thousands of dynasties. Whereas if you throw it to a computer and just start simulating and simulating and simulating, show me the results, show me the quirks, those kind of things.
It's funny you mentioned Alabama getting transfer portal quarterbacks in our dynasty year two. They got both in the portal, Arch Manning and DJ Lagway.
Exactly.
And Arch Manning's been like a transfer to Alabama in a lot of people's dynasties, too.
That's very common. I've seen that a lot on Reddit.
Yep.
What are the bugs we got, Tommy?
So I haven't experienced this one. I've read about it, but it kind of makes sense. So I'll be curious once we get to the next season. If you use formation subs and you sub guys in and out, you get to the second season and one of those players that was formation subs out, he transfers away or graduates or whatever, you can end up with 10 guys on the field because that one player is gone. again, I've not experienced it, but I've seen plenty of people mention it.
Yeah, same thing. I've seen pictures.
I've seen people talk about the 10 man, and they didn't know about the formation subs. But then once you start adding up the whole picture, it makes sense.
Right.
This one's kind of a funny one. It's not a strange one. It's not one that probably most people even ever see, but it kind of caught me off guard and kind of laughed at it. I had my game up. I had looked at a player and so his player card was up. His player model was up. It was probably open for, let's say, 10, 15 minutes or something like that. Every now and then I'd look over and I'd see the animation kind of loop and reset or whatever. That's fine, whatever.
Right.
But after about 15 minutes, the player model was replaced by my coach model on the player card with my coach model.
I've seen that picture online. So does this happen every time or was it a fluke?
I've not tested it further. I just know that I had a player card sitting up for 15 minutes and all of a sudden my coach appeared out of nowhere.
Was there both there or the player completely disappeared?
No, the player disappeared and just the coach.
Because I've seen both. I've seen pictures on Reddit where the coach is there instead. And I saw one where it's like they're both there at the same time, if I remember correctly. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, I'll have to try to see if I can recreate that. But yeah, that was one. Again, it doesn't hurt anything, but it's just more
it's funny.
Kind of, yeah, like how can that happen?
Well, yeah, what is it pulling in after X amount of time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One.
This one I just had today, actually, and this happened to me specifically. I was testing Road to Glory to see about the bug that we had talked about before about that you can't call or you can't make changes to plays. From my experience, it looked like that may have been fixed in the most recent patch. So I didn't fully understand the bug, but I think what I understood was what I tested and that worked. So long story short, I joined Ole Miss in my freshman year. Lane Kiffin left, so I'm high and dry. I've got Jeff Libby, and I don't like that. So I decided to transfer out after my first year. I transfer out and get ready to start my redshirt freshman year. And here comes Desmond coming in to repeat his welcome intro to welcome to Road to Glory and spend your points and, whatever, whatever. I don't remember all the message that he gives you, but it's the exact same message that you get as a true freshman. He comes back and repeats it again.
So instead
So
of coding first time, it is new, something based off the
it's
new team that
or
triggers it.
either new team or if you're a freshman in new team or something like that. I don't know.
Wow. Huh.
That's my list for now. Like I said, wait until the next patch. My list will probably grow a little bit
Yes.
longer.
All right. Anything else you want to add, guys? I think we got a good show, but give you one last chance. Or anything else you want to say about the game while we wait for any news or any updates or patches?
I have to think that there's got to be a patch this next week. I mean, they've been radio silent for too long. I expected one last week.
I did as well. Even something small.
And yeah, something, I mean, again, this early in the season, usually you start getting uniform patches and things like that. They have to do that at some point. So
Right.
I'm of the opinion that we get something Wednesday, Thursday this next week. We'll see.
JB,
Yeah,
last
hopefully.
call.
Yeah, hopefully we get a little something here. Like to see some things fixed, but not gonna hold my breath on it though, unfortunately. But hopefully at least we get some updated uniforms or just something that some positive progress in the game.
Be nice to get some updated field arts. There's a lot of schools that could use it. I'll put it that way. So for Tommy and JB, I'm CDJ. Everyone, thank you for watching and listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. Email us any questions to podcast@thegamingtailgate.com. If you like the show, leave a 5-star review. If you don't like the show, email us your thoughts and then leave a 5-star review. Again, for Tommy and JB, I'm CDJ. Thanks, and check us out next time.